Welcome to Misunderstandings of the Mind podcast, the space where we explore common misunderstandings of how life works, allowing us to gain new perspectives on health, wealth, relationships, and much more. Life doesn't have to be hard work. It can be a flowing collection of experiences if we learn some simple truths about how our experience is created. Through this understanding, we realize that at a fundamental level, we are all already whole and perfect.
Okay, we're live. Hi, Angelica. Welcome to Misunderstandings of the Mind podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I was looking forward to this conversation. I always say that. I think on every podcast I said I'm looking forward to this conversation, but I genuinely really do, because I feel like it's an opportunity in my life where I get to just be slow down and reflect and kind of be curious and hear something new. And I think both of us have been on the journey through spiritual traditions and trauma and body stuff and things, you know, and it's part of my podcast. My podcast has always been my own journey, you know, a reflection of my own journey, you know, like what makes sense to me at the time and what I'm seeing. And it's great to receive so many emails from people and messages and stuff about things that just came up in a conversation that actually made an impact in their lives, you know. And this subject today has been of receiving love that you brought up, you know, is it's just saying receiving love makes me feel something in my chest, you know. It's kind of like it's such a huge thing, and it's a journey that I've had my own version of, you know. And you know, I'd love to kind of just hand it over to you to start off about like where you've been with that and what makes sense to you to share about receiving love, you know, because that's a big part of our spiritual and, you know, like body-based journey, right? It's kind of like in the mind, it just makes sense that, oh yeah, of course, receiving love, yeah, that's normal. It's like, you know, like if we're just in the head, it's kind of like, but if we're in the body sometimes says no. It's kind of like, and we're not even aware of that. It's just like this subconscious distance. I mean, everyone will be able to identify with not being able to receive compliments, for example. You know, it's kind of like, oh, somebody says something nice to you and you just change the subject, or you body contracts, or you go, someone says, oh, you look good, and I go, well, I could look better, or I, you know, I'm looking pretty old or something. So there's this way of deflecting from what happens in the body in the moment, but people are not aware why they can't receive compliments and what that is about, you know, until they really go on this journey and start to be with the feeling of receiving, what that feels like in the body, how that is like a opening of this wall around your heart, and this allowing yourself to feel, you know, like the beauty of yourself as reflected from another person, you know. So I'm gonna hand it over to you and let you speak about what makes sense, you know.
That was beautiful. And I didn't know I wasn't able to receive love. Just like you say, I didn't know it was that I was holding it back. It was in this journey of discovering who I really am that I saw that I have trouble receiving love. I'm keeping it away from me, and I saw that I'm only able to receive the love I think I deserve. And I didn't think I deserved love, so I couldn't receive anything until the walls of not being worthy started to come down, and I saw that it's all about being able to receive and really seeing that I didn't think I was worthy love. I thought it was something you have to earn. And I wanted to earn it. That's all I ever wanted. I just wanted to be loved, but I didn't know what to do to earn it and to be valuable enough to have it. So when somebody gave me compliments, and like you said, I couldn't take it in. I didn't didn't think it was true, so I couldn't. But now I've seen that the more I see who I really am beyond all of my thoughts and beliefs about myself, I'm starting to see that I am love. So how can I not receive what I already are, what I am?
I've been listening to the Myth of Normal book, which is quite heavy on kind of understanding like where this originates. You know, it's kind of like as a child who did not was not okay, for example, you know, or was told that part of you is okay and part of you isn't. You know, it's kind of like whatever we absorb in that early childhood and that level of adversity is what we make mean about, and what we make mean about ourselves in that, you know. And I think that's kind of where for many of us it's like it's just an embodied experience versus a belief, a thought, you know. It's like, sure, we can think I'm not worthy of love, or I don't feel lovable, you know. It's like we can say that, but what does that really mean? Because that's not really a feeling. I don't feel lovable is not a feeling, it's just a thought, you know. It's just a perception of self. So that book is really good at kind of shining a light on what happens in that experience, not to blame parents or to say anybody was wrong, but just to really kind of to give us an idea about, you know, whether our parents were absent or unavailable for us, or a lack of presence, or they weren't there, or whether there was abuse or violence or whatever happened in that experience. Quite a core wound is quite obvious, that feeling unworthy of love because of what we made those experiences mean about us. And I think quite often it's pre-verbal as well. So it's like what would you say about that, about the somatic experience of that not being lovable? Because I've got some interesting stuff that I've learned about that for myself, but I'd love to hear from you about the somatic experience of being unlovable versus the belief, the idea that I'm not unworthy.
Yeah, it's like you say, it really, it's a feeling in the body, but that I don't have the words for. It's just some kind of flight. If I can see it with my husband now, he's really good in giving love, and I had had trouble receiving. And I saw how my whole body wants to run away from him and wants to see everything that's wrong with him. And I started to see that if I think something is wrong with him, it's not about him, it's about me. So I started to turn around what I was saying about him and saw that that's what I feel about me. So I have this way of contracting and wanting to run the opposite direction. He's just standing there full of love, loving me unconditionally, and I don't know what to do with it. I just want to run away. It feels so strange for me, but I'm starting to receive. One day I just saw his eyes. I saw how he truly, truly loves me. I saw the love, and I just cried. And I said, "Can I borrow your eyes to look at myself?" And it just melted my heart.
Yeah, it was very touching. I had very similar experiences of my... It was only in receiving love that I actually realized that I'd been running away from it my whole life.
Yeah, same.
You know, it was like, because I'd been in the spiritual kind of communities for a while and my life was quite blissful, and then as life does, you know, life brought love into my life to shine a light on my wounds. You know, it was kind of like, so as soon as somebody loved me, I was like, my body was all contracted and frozen. And I, that same thing, I wanted to, it's quite heavy for me talking about this, you know, but my body just wanted to run away and just close up and curl up in a ball and just like be like, no, you don't understand. If you really knew me, you know, it's kind of like, then you couldn't love me. And that same thing that you talked about, where just standing there and allowing the love, you know, just brings tears to my eyes, you know, sometimes without even a need for words, just the look, you know.
Yes.
And I think for me, my heart is so tender, you know, it's kind of like because of the level of adversity that I lived through and stuff and the things that happened, like, it's that's what it is, you know. I have a tender heart, you know. I have to allow myself to feel connected to the love in my own heart, you know, and I get it through that reflection, you know, that pure reflection.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
How do you feel like the kind of the non-dual and the 3P and kind of spiritual journeys have kind of helped you with this? Just first of all, becoming aware of it and then kind of being more curious about it. Because I find many people they can learn a spiritual, as always, I want to talk about spiritual bypassing a little, because I think that people, they can learn in their head these spiritual concepts quite well, you know, and it's kind of like, but they're still yet to really, as I always say, the most difficult thing you can ever do is meet yourself truly as you are. And it's like, and I think they're still yet to meet themselves. They adopt some spiritual language and repeat a few things that sound good, but like there's no that really feeling into your body. Because I think when you go through that early childhood experience that I talked about, you know, with some level of adversity, the body is adept at kind of finding ways to cope. So it makes complete sense that we cut ourselves off from our body completely. And we create a story about ourselves and a belief and an idea, all in service of intelligence. This is always intelligence. It's just protection that happens. But then we spend a lifetime in these coping mechanisms that still think we are 5 years old or 3 years old or something, you know. It's kind of like, and then what we were just talking about a moment ago is the manifestation of those things in current present day relationship, right? But kind of like, how do you feel like with the spiritual journey? It's kind of, for me, it feels like it's given me a place to stand where I'm not adding a story to what's really happening, and I'm just kind of open to facing myself, you know. And I feel that's the beauty of the spiritual journey that I've been on, has really helped me be willing to be with myself.
Yeah, that is really beautiful words on it, not to have all the putting the story aside and just meeting the raw feeling of yourself. And I'm a total nerd. When I find something that really resonates with me, I go all in. And this journey has so resonated with my heart. And I started in the 3P community and found out that well-being was innate. I am what I'm looking for. And that really opened my eyes. And in the non-dual understanding, I felt I got even a deeper sense of being, just being, and the core of who I am, and just meeting every feeling of me that comes up with love. So, and I just want to keep on swimming in this truth of who we really are and finding out more and more. I just love it.
What was it like for you before, you know, like before you found these understandings? Have you been through therapy, personal development and other things, or how did you get here basically? You know, I mean, you can say as much or as little as you like about that.
Yeah. I think I've been a searcher all my life. I said when I was a young girl, maybe 7 years old, I said I wanted to be a child psychologist. I knew that I wanted to find out more about how we work. And I have a rough upbringing, and I've always been a searcher, but I've been searching in the wrong place, like most of us, but I thought I had to fix my body. I thought I was my body, so I have to fix it because I didn't think it ever was good enough. So I've been in the fitness industry for a lot and working there as well until I got burned out. And I really run myself in the wall because I just ran and ran and ran and kept on training and didn't ever think I was good enough. And when I really hit the wall the first time, I started to get more interested in coaching, and I went in therapy. I did therapy when I was 20 years old as well. So I've been to a lot of therapy, and I saw that I need to know more about this. So I did a coaching training thing because I thought if I know more about this, maybe I can help myself be a better version of this not so good human being that I am. So I have been in this personal development for years and years, always trying to be better.
Yeah. And did you come across the spiritual, like more spiritual stuff by accident, or was that sort of journey?
Yeah, I was on a training course for the body, to putting the body in the muscles, the core muscles. And the person that had this course mentioned the three principles and how his life had changed and how he doesn't care about what other people think about him. And I just, what? Is that possible? Can you not care about what other people think? Because I had so much thinking about how I'm not good enough in other people's eyes. So when he said that, I needed to know more. So I started to look into it. I found Sidney Banks, but I thought it was a old man who spoke nice. But it just went over my head. I didn't understand a thing. But the teacher in this course, he took me aside and had a conversation with me, and then I heard it for the first time that well-being is innate, and I heard it to the depth of my core. I really heard it. I knew it was the truth. And from that day on, I just dove deep in this understanding and kept on swimming, found my way home.
What's the palpable change in your life like? How would you describe that kind of like the before and after type snapshot, you know?
Oh, I'm so much nicer to myself. I used to be, I was bullied in school from year one to nine, but I saw that no one has bullied me like I have in my life. Because my bullying of myself has been constant. And I have been depressed. I have been burned out four times in my life. I have had so much anxiety, and I have had moments where I was thinking of really taking my own life, and not, I was so hard on myself all day long, every day. So no one has bullied me like I have bullied myself. And I don't do that anymore. And that makes all the difference in the world. Being me is so, so much easier today than it ever has been.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds huge.
It is. Yeah. It is.
And I think I could, like, if that bullying comes in the form of self-loathing thoughts and self-berating thoughts, and then the upshot of those thoughts, i.e. what I do to offset what I think about myself, you know, yeah. I think I could say that I have none of that too. You know, it's kind of like people ask me, do you not wake up with that kind of hatred of yourself and shit life kind of thoughts? And I'm like, no, I don't. It's just gone. It's kind of like, I don't have that. So that is absolutely one area I could, that I used to call it Radio Jason. You know, it's kind of like, that's what I would call it. It was like, I'm listening to Radio Jason again, and it's full of negativity about Jason. You know, it's like everything I did wrong, everything I ever did that I was shameful about, everything I could hate about myself, how I hated my body, hated my life, hated my relationships, never been good enough. You know, that was Radio Jason. That's what it was. Yeah. And it's like, I really, that's not even quiet. It's gone. You know, it's kind of like, I just don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's, it makes your life so much lighter, I think, to live that way, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Right. I also kind of like the sharing of Jeff Foster. You know, it feels like a radical acceptance of humanity, you know, and I feel like for me, I went on this journey where I thought spirituality was the be all and end all answer to everything. But then, like, this experience of love was what, of not being able to receive love, is what drew me to look at, to start to look at the body as a way of connecting to unconscious beliefs. Because I think in the spiritual world, there's a gap, you know, it feels like there's this inability to articulate what happens in the body in a trigger, in a response to something. You know, you hear terms like it happens at the speed of thought, you know, which just sounds like bullshit. It just sounds like a space filler, as I call it, you know, because what the real truth is, nobody knows it's an unconscious thing that's happening. Mm-hmm. And what I found was by going to somatic investigation was where I could get connected with what was really going on. You know, and I feel like my work kind of balances on this pinnacle of kind of trauma and spiritual kind of awareness, you know, and seeing true nature. You know, the seeing of true nature is absolutely transformative in my experience. But then I was left with all this somatic tension and contraction and sensation and stuff that, unless I went into my body and started to be with myself and learned to be kind of with what was there and to see what the body wanted to say, it's like, that was like a, if you want, it was like a further embodiment of being myself, you know, rather than a head level of being myself.
Mm.
How has that been for you? As you kind of see that similar, or do you see that differently?
I think I have been in my body, because my body has been so, it's been my tool before in my life. So I have really, I think I had, the more I saw of my true nature, I felt like something in me relaxed, and the feelings, I wasn't afraid of my feelings in the body anymore. But it's really in there as well, that when, what Rupert Spira has is this yoga meditation he used to do before, and that has really helped me to align the understanding that I have in my mind with my body. So that has helped me, and I have been, sometimes when I have this release of emotions, I have to scream in a pillow, and I have to shake, and I have to jump up and down, and I just give myself to the wisdom of the body. What does it want me to do? If I need to dance, I will dance. If I need to shake, I will shake. But before in my life, I was more afraid of the tensions in the body. But now I feel like I can really let my body guide me here. It knows. I'm guessing, but my body knows. So if I can give myself to it and just follow, that has helped me.
That's such a powerful line, you know, that should be part of the notes for sure. I'm guessing, but my body knows, you know.
Yes.
That's That's so true, isn't it? You know, and it's like, even with things like IFS and somatic experiencing, which is part of my work, you know, and things that I do, I feel like there's room for interpretation, which then involves the mind, you know, of somatic sensation and contraction and so on, which is there. But like you said, you know, the body knows, and it's often me that gets in the way, you know, that's how I would see it, you know.
I have this friend who has a lot of trauma, and I'm helping her and I'm guiding her to just feel, because we want to resonate with our emotions and what's going on in the body sometimes, and just to let go of the story and trying to find out what's going on, and really just trusting the wisdom of the body. Just feel whatever you are feeling, feel it, and let your body do the work, because it knows how. And we have been so shut off. If we have a lot of trauma, we have been programmed to not to feel.
Yeah.
So we need to do a reset and really start to feel, but not so much going to the mind of it, going to the story of it, or analyzing it. Just feel and let it be.
Yeah. I'd love to hear, was it the transparent world luminous body meditations that you were talking about, the yoga ones? I think there's like a set of those.
Yeah.
I've done some of those. I'd love to hear a bit more about that, about your kind of journey through those. And also something I found the other day, I've been looking for a while, and see like the research and understanding of people like Stephen Porges and Bessel van der Kolk and Gabor Mate and so on around trauma, you know, and I'm kind of, I found something that said that the body, I think it said something like the body can react on its own, and then the mind will exacerbate the story, you know, it's going to add the story to it, which increases the level of tension and so on, you know. So I kind of see that where realization of true nature, realization of the role I play in my own suffering, you know, in my own mind, the story I create about the sensation, how that makes it worse, and how letting go of that story and relaxing into the perfection of the design makes a difference, but does not completely get rid of the what Rupert would call the residue of the body, of the autonomic nervous system. You know, it's kind of like, so like with that in mind, like, would you talk for a minute about the kind of the journey through the meditations and stuff, what that's kind of, how that's helped you see that, make sense of that, or helped you, you know?
In the beginning, I didn't really know what the yoga meditations did. I just heard you should do it if you had a lot of trauma in your body. So I just did it because I trust Rupert knowing what he's doing. So I trusted it, and I like doing it. But since I've been doing it for a while, I've been seeing that just feeling your body as this energy and not this dense thing that I have, that really just feeling the sense of the body, not getting rid of all the labels, the arms, the legs, all the labels we have on it, and just feeling it. I have been starting to feel that it is really transparent. It's just like, it is like my consciousness. It's just vibrating. And it's nothing. When I'm just feeling it, it's like I can't touch it. It's like my consciousness. It's the same. It's just energy. And I feel like when I feel my body like this, it's like it has all these things that has been stored in it, gets, how do you say it? It gets steamed out, for lack of a better word. But it's just evaporating. Just because I have been so thinking that I am my body. and all the things that that my body has gone through, I am that. And really starting to putting all the stories aside, and even the stories of having a body, and just closing my eyes and feeling from the inside, what is it that I'm feeling? Without any labels, what am I feeling? I know Rupert says that if you were a newborn infant, you don't have the labels of hands and arms and legs. It's just sensations. And that is really, it's like it's just flushing out all the dense me-ness in the body. And that has been so helpful.
Yeah. Like while doing those meditations, you have like somatic release or somatic experiences? Does it take you kind of into those places?
Yes, sometimes I have been shaking. Sometimes nothing happens. But I just feel a bit lighter. And the mind can't go in and say what happens. I just feel something is lighter. And sometimes I cry a lot. It just tears just comes, and yeah, the shaking and shiver and sadness, deep sadness and sorrow has been coming out.
Yeah. There's so many ways you can go on this journey. You know, to me, it kind of makes sense where I'm looking at the moment, but I'm always open to that not being right. You know, and not being the way. But it's just kind of my journey, the way it's evolved for me and the way it's kind of unraveled for me, you know, like doing those meditations that you talked about. And my somatic investigations, in a way, took me deeper into myself, you know. But I feel like if I hadn't have had the understanding that I had to start with, I guess the way I see it is, unless you really understand true nature, trauma is just another post-it note to stick on yourself, a flawed identity that you then add to the story of me that you continue to seek for the answers for forever. And I feel like this is where my work is, because it seems like on the trauma side of things, so many people, like you go to a trauma webinar, 5,000 people are there. You know, it's kind of like you go to a Three Principles webinar, 30 people are there. You know, it's kind of like, so people are not looking for what's right with them. They're looking for what's wrong with them. And I feel like that's become like a, in my eyes, perhaps a side effect, or and not necessarily negative, because it certainly feels like it's highlighting something important in the world, you know, about disease, about the medical system, about all those, about mental health. You know, it's kind of like they are all trauma responses, but like, it's just the human mind is so susceptible to picking up another story and adding it, you know, without seeing true nature, just becomes another problem versus a solution to anything, you know?
Yes. Yeah. So true.
So I think that, like, really seeing, looking towards true nature, you know, as a place to stand, you know, if you're going to investigate the body, from my point of view, is kind of like is essential. So you're not just adding more flaws to your character or more things that are wrong with you. You're just kind of seeing the intelligence of everything, of the protection mechanisms, of the contractions, reactions, and so on, the triggers that happen, just all intelligence, you know. It's just so happens that you don't need them anymore, but they just still happen.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. I just felt like it's like flushing out the victim mentality. If I keep looking what's wrong with me and adding what's wrong with me, I'm just becoming more and more of a victim. And we are not victims. When we see to our true nature, we see that we are whole and we are powerful, so powerful, not a victim. Things have happened in our lives that we need to attend to and give love now, but that doesn't make us a victim. So much power, so much healing power in our true nature. And in whatever way we come to it, if we go through the body and yoga or whatever, but we need to get rid of this victim mentality that's holding us back.
Yeah, I think that has to fall away with that realization, right? Because like we were talking about earlier about the self-loathing and the thoughts and the kind of never being enough that comes in the mind, the form of thoughts. It's kind of like, you know, that fell away, and it's kind of like, and that there's no victim anymore. You know, it's kind of like there's just gratitude for a journey, you know, of stuff, you know. It's like, I mean, sure, like with tragedy for me, it's like, yeah, I wish my dad wouldn't have died. You know, it's kind of like, I wouldn't say it's great if somebody dies, because you can learn a lot about yourself, for example. You know, it's like, I would never see it that way. But it's happened, you know, and it's been the biggest impacting factor of my life, you know. And right now I can see that that my heart feels very open and accessible a lot of the time, you know, and I'm grateful for that, because I feel like that's the byproduct of that journey that I've been on. But I still think sometimes, you know, I like to acknowledge my humanity. You know, I did a podcast with Rupert, and I never released it. You know, it's kind of like, because my ego would not let me, and I'm going to release it soon, because I don't care so much about my ego. You know, I don't think it was a great recording, but I'm going to release it for the certain simple fact that I did it, and I kept it for 1.5 years without releasing it. So it kind of feels to me like a progress that I can just release it now and just say, in my humanity, this didn't feel like a true representation of my, as I saw myself, my character. You know, it's kind of like, so I still have a human side. I think feel like that's another beauty of kind of realizing true nature, is that I just accept my humanity. Yeah, I'm shit sometimes, and so what, you know?
We all are. We're still under construction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I originally kind of had this, I think because I'd suffered for so long, this idea of this blissful transcendent experience when I found spiritual stuff. But I realize now that it's just allowed me to be very okay to be me. You know, it's kind of like, and I make it quite clear, and I've just been writing my book a lot, and kind of, I've had to go back and make sure I'm not saying, if you understand this, your life will be wonderful. You know, it's kind of like, what I'm saying is this will give you a place to stand where everything looks different. You know, it's like, but it will not be the panacea of all experience, the nirvana of spiritual seeking. No, that's not what I'm saying, you know?
No. No, that's something I remind myself, or also my clients, that because some people think that if I just understand this a little bit more, I won't feel anxiety anymore. I won't have to feel these feelings. And I just, no, feel the feelings. It's part of being human. But don't be afraid of your own feelings. That's the difference. I still have feelings. I still have things coming up, but I'm not afraid of them anymore, because I know there's part of my I'm a human being. This is part of it. But it's so much easier when I'm not afraid of my own feelings, and when I don't think that it's something wrong with me because I feel something. And that's the big shift. It's not getting rid of, it's being with whatever is.
What do you make of that kind of, because I still, if you go on Rupert Spira Facebook group, like everyone is talking as if like they've either found in their, I call it spiritual psychosis, you know, it's kind of like in their spiritual psychosis, they've either found this imaginary place of no experience, you know. It's kind of like, because that's what it seems like is on offer. If I find bliss, then what's my contrast, you know, of experience? There's no polarity, there's no contrast. It's like, it's just bliss all day, every day. Now I call that spiritual psychosis. I don't believe that exists. But like, what do you make of it? Because that's what it seems when people come to this, to the non-dual or the 3P understanding, it seems like they have this idea that if I, like you just said, if I really got this, then I would not be having this. And it's like, no, that's not it. You know, that's not how it works. You know, like, I'd love to hear what you see about that, you know, because it seems like a very human thing to do and a very normal thing to do. And I think a lot of people get very lost in that. Seeking yeah. nirvana, you know, seeking the day I've arrived. You know, it's kind of like it's all yeah. over now. All the suffering's over, all the struggle's over. From now on in, it's going to be perfect all the time, you know.
Yeah. I think it's about, like you said, it's just I'm being me. It's okay to be me. And I think that I have had this that I thought that maybe if I just see something more, I will never have to feel any rough emotions anymore. But I saw that that was my ego trying to be enlightened. And that's not it. Because no story of how it should be is true. The only truth we have is this moment, just like it is. Nothing else, not the story about this moment, whatever I'm feeling and experiencing in this moment without interpretation of it. That's it. So let life be life and let it move through you. Drop all the stories of how it should be or shouldn't be. And just be with whatever is.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful invitation, you know, for anyone. Because that's on the other side of that, on the flip side of that is suffering, right? It's kind of like, it's like, I'm here, I don't like it, and I want to be there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this perceived gap. You know, like that I'm on one side of the gap and happiness or peace is on the other side of the gap, you know, and if I could just work out what to do, I would bridge the gap and then I would be okay. But that in its very self, the idea that there's somewhere other than here that looks better, that doesn't have this, and like creates the suffering, the whole idea of it, right? And I think that's, it's true. It's like a natural human attempt in the mind, in the ego, to imagine that if I got this, and all it is an escape from now, right? It's just another escape from now. It's like being in my body and being right now present is uncomfortable, so I create this imaginary future where it's not there, and then I kind of say, yeah, when I get there it'll be okay, when I get this, when I understand this, I'll be okay. All of it is an avoidance of now, right?
Yes. And it's an avoidance of the well-being that we have here and now. In the midst of whatever is going on, there's this grounding of peace or security or just plain neutral being that is profound. And we're searching for it should feel like this. And
we're
lost again.
Yeah, so in short, what we're saying is it's your idea about what enlightenment is that keeps you from realizing that you have it.
Yes, yes. Exactly.
Yeah, that was a big realization of mine, just thinking, shit, you know, I make up these ideas what it would feel like if I got this, you know, it's kind of like, and that's the very thing that keeps me away from seeing that I am that which I seek, you know?
Yes. And it's pretty humbling to know that my stories about how it should be is not all the truth that there is. Maybe I don't have all the truth in my head like I thought I did. That's humbling. It's good to know that I don't know, because my knowing of how it should be wasn't helping me. So letting go of that and going into this not knowing is, it's so much better. So much better.
So I feel like we've gone kind of, we've started at the end, like the kind of the real kind of clear explanation of what it's like to not receive love, and then we've gone kind of all the way backwards and talked about all the things that gets in the way of that kind of experiencing love, you know, our stories, our ideas, all the things, you know, that show up, the attempts to bypass our experience, the lack of willingness to be with ourselves, all those things are like, they really are cutting ourselves off from feeling the love in our own heart, you know, the mirror of life, you know, it's like that reflects back to us that we're already okay, that love is who we are. It's not something that you get from outside of yourself, you know, and I think that's a great place to end, I think, you know. Is there anything you want to add that you didn't get to say, or do you want to share about like a little bit about what you do and how people can get hold of you or anything that you're up to?
Yeah, I first want to thank you for having me on this podcast. It was beautiful to have this conversation. And I really, really enjoyed it. I don't think I have so much more to say than just to anyone who's listening, just keep being curious about who you really are and not the story of who you think you are. And I work as a transformative coach, and I have retreats coming up and programs, and I do some talks mostly in Swedish, but I have just put this little flag on my website so I can start do things in English as well. So I have a translation on my website now, and it's my name, angelicaalmquist.com.
Yeah, I'll put that on the notes as well.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.